Hey there, it's Doug Jones Wednesday.
Hey!
And I'm with Stephanie Walton.
Hi.
Steph Walton.
How you doing?
And we're just so happy about this win.
Yeah, come on. I mean,
seriously, this was Doug Jones is a Democrat. He's a pro-choice Democrat who won a deep red state in a special election. Hello.
It's major. And I was looking at numbers again this morning, and 96%, he got 96% of the black vote.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton got 84, I think, which is awesome, but 96%. He woke some motherfuckers up.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously they ran a child molester. So I think that if this was a race with a more traditional GOP candidate, I don't think he would have ever had that opportunity. So
we
have to keep that in mind. I think we need to party down and we need to say yes, that this happened, because I think this could start a trend. But I think that we also have to rein ourselves back in and realize that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are breathing a huge sigh of relief. They're so happy that they don't have to deal with Roy Moore, which, you know, people who are comfortable don't vote. That's the thing. I mean, Moore made them uncomfortable. So they showed up and they voted. If we've got a Democrat in there doing a great job, obviously Doug Jones has to do a good job of letting people know what he's accomplishing so that they'll keep voting for him or, you know, keep voting for Democrats. And I hope that happens.
Yeah, and I think already Doug Jones, I mean, Doug Jones is a dude, this is a lifelong dream of his to be a member of the United States Senate. He's done the work to get here. You know, I mean, he's got an amazing resume, but he stands for the things that I want to say more mainstream progressive Democrats, not just red state Democrats,
right.
You know, like he's a pro-choice Democrat, which Kimberly, we've had this discussion before. There are many Democrats, elected Democrats, who are not, or who come up with reasons why because of faith. It's like, that is the unifier. That is what, above all, that is what unifies our party, is equality and the right for women to choose, because it means employment. I mean, it means, you know, wage earning equality. It means equality in their places of employment. It, you know, and I know that's a really big, what should I say? Sticking point for you is equality and equal rights among all genders.
Right.
So I think that Doug Jones, it gives me such a good, warm, happy feeling inside, and just knowing that he's there to fight for us from that deep red state. It's like double duty was done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to also note, and I think that as Democrats, it's important that we push this point, that the DNC and Tom Perez was totally there. In fact, Al Giordano, if I say his name right, did a whole tweet on it last night. And he talked about how the NAACP did their thing.
Oh, I almost threw you for a loop on that one because I said NCAA. God darn it. The NAACP. They made it. They made that shit happen.
They made that shit happen. And the DNC got in there. They did it for Virginia. And they did it for Alabama. So I think that this is a great thing, because I am one of those people who was very busy criticizing the DNC, you know, because they were not showing up for the midterms in 2010 and in 2014. They weren't doing what they needed to do. Now shit's getting done. Tom Perez is not messing around. So I remember I was extremely excited about Tom Perez, and I know he's gotten a lot of shit, because people wanted to, you know, label him as the establishment type, whatever. He's doing what he needs to do. And I think that this is great news for many reasons. Number one, there's going to be those far lefters who are never satisfied with anything. We're never going to get them satisfied. But as we continue to win elections, as we continue to see more women and more diverse candidates, like trans candidates and, you know, people of color, it's going to be much harder for the far left to be relevant. And it's going to be harder for Russia to divide us. It was much easier last year because the DNC was screwed up. You know, we had the difference between Bernie and Hillary. And so there was all kinds of opportunity for Russian trolls and Russian operatives to keep us fighting. As long as Democrats are winning, it's going to be much more difficult for Russians to get us that way again. Mm-hmm. So I want to continually make that point. And it's not to say that I blindly follow. You know, I get so irritated with people who think it's just about this blind worship. And it's like, of course not. I believe that it's important to criticize when necessary. That doesn't mean I think it should all be burned down. Criticize because we want improvement.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, not to stray too far from the point you just made, but I think, you know, I'm a Democrat. I was raised by two Democrats, like blue as can be, right? And for me, following the Democrat is going to be my inclination no matter what, but yeah. It's person over party. And it's also, you know, supporting to a degree, you know, when all that shit came out about Franken, you know, mm-hmm. was Leanne Tweeden full of shit? Mm-hmm. Did he really, you know, then a progressive Democrat comes out and says, no, you know what? He violated me as well. And I think that's when Democrats are really put to the test, because not only do we need Franken, not only has Franken been a guy who's had our back, and I mean the American yeah. people, he's an outstanding senator, but it looks like he may have fucked up yeah. big time. And not like, I don't want to demean what he's being accused of, because under no circumstances should that ever be demeaned. If a woman is going to speak up, let's hear what she has to say, because yeah. it takes balls to do so, right? But he also deserves due process. So I mm-hmm. want to say, just in with regards to, what did you say, partying down? I'm going to hold the DNC to a higher standard than I did just sort of when I blindly followed them.
Yeah.
Even under Debbie Wasserman Schultz, because we wanted a Democrat to be elected in whatever office they were running against a Republican, mm-hmm. you know? But now I think people's eyes are really open. And I think Tom Perez, yeah, he was an establishment guy. Yeah, you know, people wanted to be Keith Ellison. There was those two factions that hated each other.
Yeah.
Then they came together, and that still wasn't good enough for some people. But what he did in Virginia and Alabama
yeah.
shows me
he knows that his shit. Yeah.
He knows his shit. This is a new DNC, and also this is a new Democratic Party
mm-hmm.
because we're, you know, women's groups, NARAL, people mm-hmm. like you and I. I'm not going to vote for a freaking Democrat that isn't a pro-choice Democrat.
Right. I mean, you can personally be against abortion, but as long as you're voting for choice, I don't care what you're. You know, I mean, it's not going to bother me if. So, like Tim Kaine is against abortion personally, but he's always
Joe Biden.
Yeah, they're going to vote for it for choice. So that's what's really mm-hmm, important. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to focus yeah. on, and we need to focus on getting women elected. And you know, there was an article that came out the other day when the Time Person of the Year was announced, and Alyssa Milano was part of that whole thing. There was a article that came out about the Equal Rights Amendment. And so basically there's this new life to the ERA, which I think I'm going to do a Facebook video for in the next week or two. I don't know how soon I'll do this, but there is new life to it. And for those who don't know, I mean, really quick, back in the 70s, it was rolling along. It was like, you need 38 states to ratify. We got 35. And of course, Phyllis Schlafly and the right wing came in and crushed all of that, and it stopped the momentum. And then Congress, so we got the 35 states ratified. We needed 38. Congress slapped a deadline on it, a 10-year deadline, and that deadline expired, I think it was around 1983. And then everybody was just defeated and felt awful, and it just sat there. It's been reintroduced every single year into Congress. It's always batted down. It doesn't get out of committee. So getting the, I should say, getting the deadline removed. So this year, in 2017, Nevada ratified it. Mm-hmm. So now what we need Congress to vote on removing the expired deadline. Once that's done, and I'm not saying it would be easy, I'm just saying once that is accomplished, then we only need two more states And then it becomes enshrined in the Constitution. I believe it's like 2 years later after that. Once it, you know, the final state ratifies, then I believe it's 2 years and it goes into the Constitution. There is a movement for it used to be called the three-state strategy. Now it's the two-state strategy because only two states, like we're looking at Illinois, maybe Ohio, maybe Virginia. So I know that there are women.
Which is shocking to me.
Yeah. There are women, mostly women, because this is just, let me just say that this is not a woman's amendment. It's just that women benefit from it more than men. And when I say benefit, I don't mean they benefit over men. It's just now it's more equal.
Well, and, yeah, there and are so distinctions drawn.
Women benefit
yeah.
by getting equality or getting, you know, getting their fair share. And it's not just about, you know, earning income. That there's all kinds of benefits from an equal rights amendment, all the way from domestic violence, you know, to
divorce.
Earnings. There's just so many yeah. benefits. And for anybody that has a question about this, I highly, highly, highly recommend the book Equal Means Equal by Jessica Neuwirth. It's not the most exciting read, but what she's a feminist scholar, makes the case for the three-state strategy. And she talks about different court cases having to do whether it has to do with money or has to do with sexual domestic abuse or any. She makes a case why the ERA would have helped whoever the person in the lawsuit who lost, it would have helped them. And she cites why the 14th Amendment isn't enough. Lawyers have used that in cases where, you know, there has been pay discrimination and they're able to weasel their way out of it. So you can't weasel your way out of an equal rights amendment. You can't do it. It's constitutional right. gender equality. And so if we can get some progressive, all progressives, of course, but specifically progressive women, and then they have to be educated because a lot of these people don't even know that the ERA was never ratified. So we have to educate right. them you know, and I'm hoping that I had the opportunity to message with a very, very high profile person who is leading, one of the leading people in the resistance. And I messaged her with all kinds of information about the ERA, and I'm hoping that she takes this on because she's mm-hmm. a force. And, you know, I'm hoping that I can get as many people involved in this because the way we're going to get out of committee is if the public starts screaming about it, if it's specifically mm-hmm. women, if there's a call for
right.
it, you know, and we can kind of attach this to the Me Too movement because it's about discrimination. It's not, you know, and it's also about, you know, sex abuse, sexual misconduct. It's all connected. And the only yeah. thing that's getting in our way right now is a lack of education. There's just a lack of education. As soon as you find out about this, you're like, oh my God, we have to work on this. We have to get
right.
this done.
Right. And so, because I just want to speak to the lack of education comment, because I, you know, I completely believe in this. I you know, come on, we all deserve it. And it, yeah. you know, when you look at what the Equal Rights Amendment means, and you say constitutional gender equality, why wouldn't men and women both have equality in terms of divorce, property,
right.
and employment as three examples? Here's a question I have. If the ratification deadline expired in 1983 or thereabouts, mm-hmm. How is it that, this is so stupid, how is it that Nevada was able to ratify with their state legislature in
because
earlier this year?
Individual states can ratify. This was an amendment for like the federal ratification, getting it enshrined into the Constitution.
Gotcha.
So
okay, so then we go ahead and we get two more states. Mm-hmm. We get two more states to get the 38, and then we go back through the rigmarole to try to get it into the Constitution.
It doesn't matter when they remove the deadline, if they can do it. You know,
got
obviously
it.
There will be arguments made that it needs to be started over. It needs to start over from scratch.
Right.
But there are, like I said, constitutional scholars and other lawyers who are saying we can do it. All Congress has to do, it was a congressionally imposed deadline in the first place. So Congress
right.
can just say, all right, we're you know, repealing that, or we're writing a new bill that, you know, whatever, kills that old thing. So
yeah,
it's not impossible. And the thing is that this is the one, this is like the one amendment that would provide gender equality. And, you know, I mean, it would also, they're never going to shut up, but the men's rights activists love to complain about right. the fact that the courts are stacked against them when they're dealing with divorce and child custody. But if they're that concerned about child custody, then they should be fighting. They're saying if it's stacked against women, well, then the ERA would help them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one way. Well, I like to shut them up.
Well, you know what? I just had an idea. I have an idea. This has been your pet project ever since I met you. Uh-huh. One of. And I know you've been working on this for a really long time. And I'm, you know, I'm right there with you. But I have an idea.
Huh.
What, you know me and my freaking ideas. I think given that Kirsten Gillibrand,
yes,
is right out there, you know, she's the leading force behind, I think, Senator Franken's resignation.
Yes. Yes.
And she's clearly, I mean, to anybody that I've spoken to about this, I think she's making a play to run for president in 2020.
Uh-huh.
Hey, why don't you approach Kirsten Gillibrand about the Equal Rights Amendment and have her put this in her, have this feather popped into her cap so that when yeah. she starts hitting the campaign trail, she single-handedly started this thing up. She got she got sexual predators removed from the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and she got this motherfucker ratified in 38 states and added to the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah. Hey now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, that would be in 2020. It's certainly possible that in the next couple of years we could get some traction on this. I don't know how far we can go. Again, there's going to be pushback. There was huge pushback, obviously, in the 70s when it looked like it was going to pass. So the Republicans are going to fall all over themselves now too. You know, I mean, the lies that they were telling about the ERA back in the day were that there were going to be unisex bathrooms, which is funny because we have those now. There was also mm-hmm. One of the lies was that wives wouldn't get benefits if their husband died, which is complete malarkey. It's spousal benefits and you can arrange them any way you want. ERA would have nothing to do with that. Another lie was that women would be forced to be drafted, which if there was a draft, which Congress always had the ability to draft women. They chose not to. But in this day and age, we're never going to see an all-male military again. So, you know, and I hear from, I mean, nobody wants a draft. No one wants that. Mm-mm. But from what I see out there, I mean, out in the social media world, I don't see women protesting that. It's like, well, that's mm-hmm. equality. We can't say we want equality, but we get to not, we don't have to, women are going to war anyway. I mean, look at Tammy Duckworth. You know, I mean, and not everyone who's drafted necessarily has to go out and fight in the fields. There's all kinds of jobs. I mean, you could be you could work with drones. You know, you could work on computers. You could. There's so many Absolutely. Different jobs in the military that women
medical.
Can. Right.
Yeah, just,
and, you know, tons. Sometimes men will email me and say, well, you know, and they take such an attitude and then they soften up when I give them my answer. But basically it's like, well, do you think women should have to pass the same test as men to go fight? It's like, yes, I do. If you know, I don't think women should be given a special test. If they're going to be out in the field fighting, they have to pass the same test a man's going to have to pass.
Correct.
I believe.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, they can't hack it.
Right.
There's a reason they put men through a test for the military, because it's fighting for your life.
Yes.
It requires strength. You know, our brains are the same, but our bodies are different.
Yeah. And I mean, there's some women that are like stronger than men. You know what I mean? It's like, so it just depends. And each person should have that same test. So, you know, it's like I always get like when men ask me that, they kind of ask me as if they're expecting me to say, no, women deserve special treatment. It's like, no, absolutely not. They should have the same, you know, tests that men have. So and the thing is that when an Equal Rights Amendment is in place, And you know, there, you know, from what I've read, and what I've been told, like, for instance, I had a woman on the podcast earlier this year named Eileen Davis, and she's been working on this forever, and she's just an encyclopedia of knowledge. And she said, right now, if you're a woman in the workforce and you're not getting paid the same as your male counterparts, good luck finding a lawyer to represent you. Because evidently, lawyers don't want to touch you, it's too hard to prove, and they just don't want to deal with it. So if we can get this into the Constitution, then it would be one of those things where, you know, they can literally make a federal case out of it if it becomes an issue. So, you know, we one of the things that we should have and we don't is transparency with, you know, what people earn. I know that like the government employees, it's full, you can look up what they earn. But yeah, exactly. There are a lot of people who argue against that. They don't want it. I think there should be transparency, but that's a whole different argument. And then kind of just segueing in with the, I think the key is we have to put the emphasis on gender equality, because gender's a big thing now. You know, I mean, we got marriage equality. And then interestingly, and I know you know this, but our last show, we interviewed Charlotte Clymer, who was Charles Clymer at the time of the interview. And he told us that he was genderqueer. And the reason that he was genderqueer was because he felt that he was like, he wasn't sure, you know, that he identified more with feminine things when he was younger. And
Charles went by they and them at the time of our interview.
Yes. Sorry. See?
I forget. It's gentle.
Right.
Yeah.
I totally forget. But Charles had said, you know, that they felt like they didn't have, I don't know, like a place with, you know, where it was male, female. Anyway, several hours after our conversation, Charles became Charlotte and announced that she was trans and just decided, I'm going to go. And you know what? I think that the conversation that we had helped that decision. Like, I think that that decision was based on the fact that she was talking to us and felt maybe like, you know what? I'm not really being my true self and I want to be my true self. And then,
I wondered that.
Yeah.
I was so happy after we talked to them, and then they came out as she.
Yeah.
And it, to me, was...
I'm just going to go with she.
Well, yeah.
Now she's she.
She's she now. Charlotte's she. Right. And it and is such a force, you know?
Yeah.
It made that transition with such grace. Or I didn't want to say made the transition, because I think Charles was always Charlotte.
Right.
And is now openly and freely Charlotte, and it has been inspiration to just everybody that comes, that crosses her path.
And she got so much support from people on Twitter, big names. I mean, even Chelsea Clinton, specifically tweeted to her, and,
I know
it was great.
Alyssa Milano wrote, "I love you so much." And I was like, whoa, that's a person who, you know, I'm so happy for her.
Yeah.
And you know, she had a makeover and looks beautiful.
And it made me laugh because she said,
makeup and
she said that she was so grateful because Nordstrom Rack or whatever had size 13 shoe. And I know, I know how great that is, because I take a size 11 and, my feet seem to have grown a little. I think I'm like between an 11 and a 12 now. I'm 6 feet tall, so that's why my feet are so huge. But so I do know about the Nordstrom Rack shoes. Love them.
Well, good. I'm glad for you and Charlotte.
But I thought that was kind of an interesting turn of events after our show that Charlotte decided to say, hey, I'm just going to be who I am. And was met with such love and such positivity. Yes. And she even said on Facebook something along the lines of, the next day, she said, you know, as a social media person, you're trolled all the time. You can't even put a song up without someone trolling you. And she said she didn't, you know, she didn't get trolled. It was just all about love and acceptance. So that was really cool. That was a really cool little ending to that announcement.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So now we have to talk about something gross.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, it's about these women who are coming out against Trump. And there is a video that came out in, I think it was in October, I'm not sure, of 2016, before Trump was elected. And it was by this girl named Katie J, who identified as Katie J, and claims that she was raped by Trump when she was 13. And it was all the Epstein, you know, that Epstein guy, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, he would have parties. Orgies.
The billionaire sexual deviant who likes to host orgies in his home in New York. And also, apparently had video cameras installed throughout his house, I've read on several instances.
And I've heard that he's taped everything.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pardon?
Yes. And and also that he settled cases for, you know, child sex, you know, stuff with having to do with child sex. Anyway,
how gross that is even to say.
I know it's just disgusting. And I listened to this account of this girl. Did you listen to the whole thing?
KDJ? The entire thing.
Yeah. I believe her. I mean, I believe that this happened, and I posted it on my Facebook wall, and I also tweeted it out, and I'm going to read the name of it. It's on Vimeo, and it says KDJ's testimony versus Donald J. Trump, alleging he tied, beat, raped, and threatened her with murder when she was 13 years old. So she just talks about how she met this woman, Tiffany Doe. Pardon me?
Yeah. Tiffany, who was 16.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so she met Tiffany Doe and got invited to these parties, and she was paid to go to these parties, if I'm not mistaken, right?
She was flown in, and her parents thought she was modeling. She would get raped and blow Trump and then get on a plane and fly home. At 13 years of age and never told her mom and dad. She was terrified because she never wanted her father to view her as anything other than his little girl, because that's what she was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and then
as I'm sure you
she talks about how Trump is a germphobe, and that anytime he wanted anything done, whether it was a blowjob or a hand job, if it was a hand job, she needed to wear gloves, and like this was common knowledge. And then if it was a blowjob, of course, he'd have to wear a condom. And she was a virgin. So she described this one scene where she was tied up to the bed with pantyhose. And he knew she was a virgin. Oh, and the creepiest part was that he would reference the fact in like this way that made him happy that she reminded him of his daughter, which is Ivanka.
And when she had on the blonde wig and made the request that she wear the blonde wig and made that comment more than once.
Yeah. And she said that he was creepy about it. It wasn't just one of these wistful, oh, you remind me of my daughter. It was really gross. And so, you know, according to what she says on this tape, he knew that she was a virgin and that he liked the idea that he would get to something first. And and that he raped her, and that she said she. And now this, I'm a little. I listened to this while I was doing other things, so maybe you can remember. She was worried that she might be pregnant, so I'm assuming that he didn't use a condom. But I would.
Well, that's. I was going to bring that up. Either that, or she was 13, and you think you can get pregnant through a bathrobe.
That's
so
true.
I don't know. You know, I had to ask myself that. I listened to that part twice because I'm like. She didn't talk about how he put a condom on before he raped her. Listen to me, I have to like hush my voice because I can't even say it.
Yeah.
She's a child. So I don't know. That would be it. If he didn't put a condom on, I would find that suspect given that, you know, he made her put a glove on to touch his disgusting penis.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, she could, when I was 13, I was pretty sure that you could get pregnant, like, even if you had a beach towel in between yourself and the boy.
That's true. So my sister asked me this. One time my sister told me she thought she was pregnant. And I said, have you? And she was like 12. I said, have you had sex? And she said, no, but I was laying next to a boy. And I'm like, that's not how it works.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, this was a little girl who thought she was was about to become a model. And what I found, you know, what really kind of gave me pause was when she talked about how Tiffany said to her, don't worry, I'll be right with you. I'm right here. I've got your back. Like I'll take care of you. Tiffany was 16 and Tiffany was her recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Tiffany was older, was one of the older girls. She said there was maybe one that was 16, but the rest of them were 13 and 14 tops.
Wow.
Okay. This motherfucker needs to go down.
Yes.
This man needs to be removed from office immediately. he needs to be jailed and he needs to never, ever come out. He needs to die in prison.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I can't say that I've watched this horrifying account. And I mean, I believe her, but in the end, we just have to wait and see how this plays. I don't know why she would come out and say something like this, unless, you know, obviously the critics would say she's doing it for money. And who can, you
she
know,
she has a wig on and
there needs to be a tape. There needs to be a tape.
There has to be a tape. Well, I've read many before. Okay, when her story, I saw like the legal, or the written legal document, and I don't, forgive me. My husband's a lawyer, and I couldn't even tell you what this thing's called. But is it the court filing or whatever? Whatever submitted to the courts.
Yeah.
And it was her written testimony and how that was withdrawn because they threatened her life and the lives of her family members.
Right.
So, but it was in that document, and this was well over a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's known that Epstein has cameras installed in all of his orgy rooms.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, she, which I find very, very believable, because Katie J said Epstein never took part in it. He just liked watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, of course the billionaire is going to record everything.
Yeah.
Where is it? Where is it, Epstein? And what do we have? Is the man in jail? Didn't he do time already?
I don't know. I know that I was looking around and I saw some articles about how he settled and things like that, but I don't know if he's in jail. I don't know enough about it. But, you know, I mean, I just, Trump needs to be in jail for so many reasons. And the thing is this Me Too movement, Kristen Gillibrand, and every woman who is speaking out, this is a new day for the Trump accusers, mm-hmm. Trump victims, accusers, whatever you want to call them. And he needs, you know, I mean, it's like he was going off on Al Franken, yet he's supporting an accused child molester. I wonder mm-hmm. why. And, you know, we need to get the man. And you know what? It's like yesterday, Dan Rather likened him to a caged animal, which is something that I've said before. He's totally mm-hmm. losing it. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know what I think? I honestly think, and I don't mean this, how can I say this? Like, I don't want to belittle anyone else, but when he was slurring his words the other day in the speech, mm-hmm. he looked bad. He looked, mm-hmm. you know, what he looked like to me. I mean, I believe it was dentures that was making him talk weird. But I think that he was terrified they were going to come out. Mm-hmm. And we all know mm-hmm. that, you know, he's so all about ego and he doesn't want to be embarrassed. And it's like, it just like, you could see the fear on his face that something was going to happen.
That is this.
but you could just tell he kept like sucking his dentures in. He was trying to put them in place. And I think,
but hold on. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, do you remember when during the debate, the last debate with Hillary, he was doing all that crazy sniffing?
Yes.
And he was making that weird mouth shape where he'd go, I wish you could look at it. And like he'd kind of make the lips would come yeah. in, the bottom lip. So, you know, so he was doing that, which I thought he might have been coked out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we all did.
Or drugged up, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was the similar mouth thing he was doing yes. during the Jerusalem speech. Mm-hmm. God bless you, Majesty. And then when he came home, political and religious. But the thing is, when he came home from the Asia trip, and his tongue turned into gray paste and got stuck to the inside of his mouth.
Yeah.
That was the same thing mm-hmm. that happened with Jerusalem. So it was a combo of dry mouth, mm-hmm. the coked out sniffing,
yeah.
and then what appeared to be dentures. I thought maybe he was having a stroke. And then I, you know, I was like, holy shit, that's going to be hard to watch, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I think he's on meds.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if his, I kept watching, I swear to God, I watched it 100 times.
Yeah, me too.
Because I wanted to see if those bottom dentures were dislodging in some way. And they were not.
I thought it looked to me like they were. Bob and I were watching it on our huge television. I mean, I was standing right in front of it, and it looked to me like they moved around a little bit. But I don't know. You know what? I'll say this. I know a woman who said that she had to have dentures for a while. She got implants. And uh-huh. The thing that's weird to me is, like, why would he have dentures? You know, I mean, it's like, he's got money.
Oh, well, but he has implants. There's no question, because he, like, go look at some old shots of his teeth. Uh-huh. Like, go back to the 90s, okay? And now look at his overly bleached choppers.
Right, I know, but what I don't understand is, if, because she said, this woman who had dentures briefly while she was waiting for her to get the implants, she said the dentures mm-hmm. were awful, and she said they caused her to slur her speech and talk just like Trump did. So she was under the impression that he was wearing dentures, and she said, what I don't understand is, why doesn't he just get implants? And I mean, duh, I don't
understand. That's right. So that takes that. That's why I don't think he has dentures, because he's rich enough to have implants. He could have a whole new jaw implanted into his head.
The guy is falling apart. And I think that
he's falling apart.
Exactly. And it was after that speech. I think that all the things that are happening, you know, his fear, these women coming forward, the Mueller investigation, everything is closing in on him. And I don't necessarily think he lives in reality and he thinks to himself, oh, I'm not going to get away with it. I think that he's gotten away with everything in his life, and he doesn't think in those terms, but he feels the pressure, and he's angry, and he feels as if, you know, he's always screaming about how he's not being treated fairly. God, he's such a fucking asshole. But, you know, and I think that he's just so angry that,
yeah.
Oh, and I wanted to say this too, speaking of Russia, Dr. Dina Grayson, who is Alan Grayson's wife, she supposedly has some, intelligence sources, and she posted that there are going to be two, like revelations coming out, and one of them is about Russia. She seems to think it's going to be this week, so we'll see. I look at this and it's like, it's kind of almost easy to make that prediction, but sometimes weeks go by and we don't have any big bombshells, and then, you know, and then we get one. So supposedly a big one's going to come out this week. So we'll see.
And how much do we want that?
I know. You know what? Like, I'm totally predicting that Trump is going to ruin Christmas. Because I think, you know, I mean, word on the web is that he's going to try to fire Mueller. And, uh-huh. you know, it's kind of frightening, because, I mean, I know that Rod Rosenstein? Talked to...
That works for me.
Okay, Rod Rosenstein talked to... who was at the, let's see, House Committee on Wednesday. And he was asked about Mueller. And they asked him, you know, would you fire Mueller if Trump asked you to? And he said, well, I would if I saw that there was a reason to fire him. And they said, do you see a reason to fire him? And he said, no.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that worries me about the Mueller investigation, even though, let's say Mueller does get fired, it's not like the Mueller investigation is going to go anywhere. It's still there. Schneiderman is still there investigating him. But what worries me is that the Republicans are kind of getting behind this idea that Mueller can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, at first, everybody...
That's what they're trying to spin. Yeah.
That's what they're trying to spin. I mean, like, initially... oh, what's that big thumb face? He was who left his wife when she had cancer? What's his name? Newt Gingrich. So I guess Newt Gingrich initially was like, oh, my, Mueller's great. And now, of course, he's changing his tune. And so that's worrisome to me that, you know, the Republicans are starting. And I think they're just so afraid because they keep losing. They just keep losing.
Yeah.
And they have put themselves into such a horrible position with Trump, because they hate Trump, but they feel that they need him. I think Trump's going to ruin our Christmas because I think he's going to do something with Mueller. Depending on what the news dump is and what happens between now and Christmas, I don't know. You know, he keeps saying, we're going to put Christmas back in, whatever. We're going to get Merry Christmas going. And it's like, yeah, he's going to ruin it.
Oh, he's such a wang. You know, they're so, the Republicans, here's the thing. Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, all these pricks, they flip-flop depending upon which way the wind blows. They take one firm stance against Trump, and then the next minute, they're kissing his ass. And Lindsey Graham, of late, has been a real Trump ass kisser. So that makes me wonder, you know, do all these guys, do all these flip-floppers have something? We all know it's money. We know it's they're motivated by money. They've all taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from Russia. Right. And, and this is, who doesn't have a freaking tie to Russia in the Republican Party at this point? Right. That's any of these GOP leaders. And so I think they're doing whatever they can. Their party is in such disarray. Yeah. The Democrats, we have our own problems. We need to get off our ass and we need to fight. Yeah. The Democrat, the leaders of the Democratic Party need to act like they're members of the resistance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've seen, and I've said it, it's like, this is we are in a street fight right now. Mm-hmm. And if you don't play that way, then you're going to lose. That's why I think Tom Perez, the NAACP, you know, the states of Alabama and Virginia, they're fighting for their lives. They fought and they won.
Yeah.
And that's the true embodiment of the resistance, I believe. Now, these stupid ass Republicans, they are so, so corrupt on so many different levels. And
they can't win.
That's right. That's exactly right. You just took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly it. So let's keep beating them.
Yeah.
Let's just keep beating them. And I can't tell you, fine, nobody's going to ruin my Christmas. I got a Ponderosa pine that I'm flocking this weekend.
Woohoo!
And I got my family with me, and I've got, you know, we've got a lot of great family stuff. Nobody's going to not prevent me from eating stuffed buns with my Auntie Dee Dee. You know what I'm saying? Like, Christmas is on. And nobody's going to ruin that for me. Right. But I'll tell you what I'm really looking forward to. After that, I've got Christmas, which is going to be amazing. All the cousins and charades and all that beauty. And then there's the anniversary of the Women's March.
Yeah.
On January 20th.
Yeah.
And I am going to make signs, and my kids and my husband and my parent, my mom and my mother-in-law and my best friends, we are going to march hard and loud.
You know, Yeah. And now I just forgot
We've
what
We've changed things.
Yeah, we have.
People,
and we're, oh, I know what I was going to say is that also the new year is going to mark, we are in election season. We are in 2018 election season, and it's going to get freaking crazy. I mean, we're going to have to deal with the Russian disinformation campaign and whatever else that they're doing.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it's just so important as Democrats that we stay positive, that, you know, even when we get down, we just stay down for a little while, get back up. And always remind ourselves, because what I'm going to do now, anytime I see anybody on Facebook or whatever bitching, going, we're never going to win. Shut the fuck up. We just won Alabama. Red state Alabama.
And we just won Virginia.
And Virginia.
Virginia wasn't supposed to happen either.
Yeah. And it was all women, like women and progressives and a trans woman.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Ralph North. I was in Virginia the week before, days before the election. And I spoke to people who voted for Trump, who were changing their tune.
Wow.
And our little 80-something-year-old aunties were saying, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And I said, you march yourself to that, to the election booth, and you vote for Ralph Northam, and you vote for every progressive candidate, and you show Trump that you regret your decision.
Yeah. Wow.
That's deep red Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, that's a mentality that's tough to break. And they wanted to know, how do we change this?
Wow.
How do we make good on this? Oh, yeah. So I think the resistance, I want to give the resistance a huge pat on the back.
Me too.
Because, you know,
which is led by women.
Yeah, it is. We were out there. We were marching. We were fighting. We were, and our kick-ass men were at our sides, and our kids knew what was right, mm-hmm. and everybody knew what was right. And I know you marched in Santa Rosa with mm-hmm. Bob, and I marched in DC, and it was the same. It was a unifying, peaceful. We're out here for one reason only, and that is two reasons. We believe in equality, and we believe Donald Trump is a piece of shit and must be removed from the White House.
Yes. And goddammit, we're going to take our country back.
That's right. We're going to take it back. I have a video where I didn't have a bullhorn at this time, but I do have a very loud voice. So I was saying, Donald Trump and Michael Pence. And then the callback was, you don't make no fucking sense. Donald Trump and Michael Pence. And I have a video of a girl who cannot be more than 12. Pussy hat. She had an American flag wrapped around her back, and she's in the forefront of my video. And there's nothing more beautiful to me than that child proudly with her parent Aww. At her side. You don't make no fucking sense.
That would have been me.
I just would have wanted to
say fucking when I was 12.
Yeah, but she knew it was the right thing to say.
Yeah,
like there was, you know, right. It was too good. And there's okay. You will appreciate this, you and Bob being fans of the music and even the more obscure music, but Patti Smith is one of my all-time faves and just has been as an artist in all of her forms. Mm-hmm. But she did a song, I don't even know when it was. Maybe it was the late 80s, 90s. People Have the Power. Mm-hmm. Do you know that tune?
Vaguely.
And I can't, it's a great song. And it's about what's happening right now. Like that's my resistance tune. People have the power. And it's just Patty, you know, it's like, it's fierce. I'm going to grow some armpit hair. Maybe I'll have a good bush under each arm by January 20th. And I'm going to bring some sort of a device where we can blare that. Or maybe that's going to be one of my signs. I don't know. One of my signs is going to be, you're in trouble, spelled U-R-I-N-E, trouble. And then, right? And then maybe people have the power.
Yeah.
And I've got my Trump's a cunt button on my lapel, and my kids are just going to have to understand that's not something they can say.
Right.
But I can say it.
But you can say it. Well, on that note, I just want to say mm-hmm. that this is going to be our one and only show for December since it's Christmas and everything. So we're going to come back in the new year, and Charlotte Clymer has asked to come back, you know, and talk to us. So we're going to have her on in the new year at some point.
Yes, indeed.
I just want to throw it in there that you can support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. And so
start
us up, and you can pledge $1 a month. I mean, that's a great way to support the show. Just put in $1 a month. That's $12 a year. It's nothing. And then if you pledge $5 a month, you get access to the bonus show, which is End Another Thing, which is what we're going to do right after this.
Yeah.
And or, you know, you can actually support us with any dollar amount you like. Like $5,000 a month would be awesome.
That'd be fabulous.
But I'll just be happy with $1. We could take $1. So
$1, $5, $5,000, you name it. We don't care. We're just happy to have your support.
We don't discriminate. Alrighty, so then until next year, everybody, thank you for listening for this year. I appreciate your support, and we're looking forward to a really kick-ass 2018.
Oh, yeah.